But last Friday, about this time, we had Brian Parman, NDSU Ag Finance Specialist, on, and doggone if we didn't run out of time before we were done. So by popular demand, I demanded it, Brian's back. How are you doing today, Brian?
Hey, not too bad. Hey, all it takes is one person. So, you know,
if he
wants me back, that's fine, too.
Majority of one. Here we go. Yeah, Friday we were talking about some of the big macro. Of course, Friday was, there was so much uncertainty. And, of course, over the weekend, we haven't gotten any more certain, have we?
No, I mean, you look at equities markets are up. The S&P and the Dow is up almost 6% today. You've got, you know, last week livestock was down and then limit down and expanded trading. But one thing that has been consistent, I guess, a nice segue into it, is cropland values and rents in North Dakota.
All right, time for the breaking news swoosh here, because hot off the press is the North Dakota cropland values news release. And I guess looking at the chart in history for various of the nine regions that you study, some years it goes up, some years it goes down. And this year, in some of the regions where it was down last year, it's up this year, and vice versa. What's going on?
Well, you know, it's collecting cropland value data. It's straightforward, but at the same time, the interpretation of it is not so much, because you can imagine a scenario where, take Cass County, since that's where we're both sitting right now, maybe you have a year with some lower productivity index land selling. And so if that made up the bulk of the sales that year, it may look like cropland values in Cass County are down, when in fact they're really not. And then the next year you have some higher productivity index or more productive land sell, and all of a sudden it looks like cropland values are up 10%. When the truth of the matter is the, you know, sort of a weighted combination of what's being sold in there. And a lot of times these surveys do not take that kind of information into account. So you get these, what we would call malaise, just increases and decreases. And then depending on how sparse the data is, you know, for instance, if you only had four or five observations and a really expensive parcel sells, well, then that can drag the average up really high and then the next year down really low. So, you know, I like to take this data and kind of look at trends. And when you folks read the news release, you'll see we have the data going back several years. And, you know, what I did with this on the cropland side is I just took and looked and said, okay, yes, we've got fluctuations in different regions that are moving opposite of a region perhaps next to it. But over time, we're really about where we were 5-6 years ago, where we really haven't seen an increase or a decrease at all. And that's why, you know, going on the record, I've been saying cropland values and rents have been flat. And until something happens, some kind of shock, it's going to continue to be flat.
Is this, I get the glasses half full with all that's been going on in agriculture for the last 2 to 5 years, and with the current situation, is this a win for farmers who own land, that their land remains, it hasn't gained in value, but it hasn't lost any?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, when a lot of what's happened is we've had low interest rates, which, you know, I talk about in the article. We've had lower interest rates, which helps. If you have to do any refinancing or debt restructuring, it sure is nice to do it at 3.5%, 4% instead of 8-10%, for sure. That also makes farmland values more attractive to somebody who would be thinking about maybe diversifying a portfolio. For instance, somebody who is going to invest. Bond yields haven't been very good. Equities have, but bond yields haven't been very good, which is helping kind of prop up farmland values. And then, of course, we've had, at least the last 2 years, big ad hoc programs like market facilitation that, when we looked at our farm business management records, if it wasn't for market facilitation for a lot of farms in that data set, they would have had a negative net farm income. But MFP pushed them over the top there, so that kind of leads into that cash rent market. And so far, there hasn't been a lot of pressure to drop cash rents, because anybody who's been willing to walk away from an agreement. There's been somebody to come in behind them and take on the contract. So there just hasn't been any real weakness in that. And going back to your point about the glass half full thing, absolutely. Because most, about 83 to 85% of all assets in agriculture, depending on the data set you look at, is land. And that basically represents the borrowing power or the credit of your typical farmer is going to be borrowed against those assets. So the fact that they've remained strong, that, that's been a good thing for agriculture, not just in North Dakota, but across the country.
Right on. Strong and steady. We like it. But are there any, all that being said, Brian, are there any regions of the nine that you study in North Dakota that kind of do not fall into the category, all the things that you just talked about?
Well, we've got the obviously the oil region up in the Northwest, the Bakken area. There's some things going on there with mineral rights and so forth that can kind of distort what you would expect. Pasture land values is another report that came out Friday that we didn't get a chance to talk about. They were down slightly, about 5%, and the rents have come down some. I think some weakness in the livestock market's done that. But you got to remember, they're coming off highs. So they're coming off these highs. Now, but back to your point about farmland values holding steady, the other thing that we haven't had a lot of is inflation. So someone might think, well, if they're the same price that they were roughly 5 years ago, well, then we've they tend to be worth less because the dollar is worth less. But the truth of the matter is we haven't had a lot of inflation for the last 5 years. So it's pretty much held firm, and that's kind of what we're seeing.
Okay, you mentioned the pasture land values. Any aberrations there to talk about?
Well, with the pasture land, one of the challenges is the data is pretty solid for cropland, not too bad. Pasture land's a lot more sparse, so you tend to see wider swings with pasture land value. But just like you would expect, pasture land is worth a little bit less in the West than it is in the East. Typically because the stocking rate is much higher in the East, or the amount of forage produced. For instance, southeastern North Dakota, the southeast region, might be close to $1,500, and then you get up in the Northwest, Divide, Williams, Mountrail County, more like $552. But it takes a lot more acres to raise a cow-calf pair in that region than it does in, say, Sargent or Ransom County.
All right. So do you anticipate any big changes moving forward? As I said at the beginning of our conversation, between Friday and today, and from a month ago to probably a month from now, the world is just a very changeable, very volatile thing. Everything, you know, the markets are up one day, down the next. This is nobody knows what direction we're headed. Do you anticipate any major changes in either pasture land or cropland values?
I think that a lot of it's going to depend on the next few months, just like everything else. I hate to sound like everyone else who's talking about this situation with the coronavirus and everything, but if we look at livestock prices right now, they're pretty poor, and the price of things like corn is pretty poor right now. So, but then we have the phase three bill that was passed with money set aside for the Commodity Credit Corp, and then $9.5 billion or so set aside for specialty crops and livestock. And I would have said that the commodity prices we had last year and the year before would have put downward pressure on farmland values, or probably would have, and made borrowing a lot more difficult. But here we are again in the same situation, and it sounds like there may be a package put together to help our producers across the state. So it's really tough to predict what any program and what the government's going to do with this and how it's going to affect net incomes going forward. I'm sure that there's going to be some folks who struggle or who are looking at some rented ground and saying, boy, I just don't want to take the risk again. But I don't think that that's going to be the majority of people. I think that farmers, you know, they plant their crop in the spring, they do the best they can, they roll with the punches, so to speak, on commodity prices, and and they tend to find a way to operate into the future years. So I certainly wouldn't bet against them.
All right. So true. As we move forward, a lot of folks have either lost their job or are furloughed. Farmers, on the other hand, have got a lot of work to do, and now this is the busy season. And they always plant for the markets or plant for a rotation, plant for their what their farm does, what they need as far as feed or forage. So, I get, you know, farmers just going to do what they do best business-wise, and that all is their decisions based on good information that they get from people like you. Brian Parman, NDSU Ag Finance Specialist. Thank you very much for the visit, Brian. Have a good rest of the week.
You too, Nick.
All righty. Thank you so much.